We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome to 5 O'Clock Fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 O'Clock Fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully, you're
off work.
You're off work.
But luckily for you.
Luckily for you, I got it now. Oh, B. Scott.
Some another.
And the deal.
The big deal.
I'm sorry. Cooper DeGene has me in a space. I'm not done with that, by the way. We're going to continue that at some point later on today. You want Texans draft talk, we're going to give it to you. We're going to give it to you hard. All right.
We also have a texter that wants a Courtland Finnegan investigation, and I've been saying that for years. I feel like he passes the test once Dre took that helmet off.
We're really pushing the line here. Ed Psycho T, a.k.a.
You can catch that. You can make cornrows out of that for sure.
I mean, he could have sold me. He could have sold me.
Yeah.
He could have sold me that there's green bean casserole at his Thanksgiving. But –
he goes to our barbershop.
Has to. Yeah, all right.
He must.
5 o'clock fire, which is brought to you by Kirk Holmes.
Scissors right. Won't do.
Yeah, the Astros, they get it going tonight. Fellas, I know we have said this multiple times, and it is clear that Joe Espada, a.k.a. Dana Espada, they really sense and see this. And they're making moves and changes, and they had to bring up Eric Gaddy again due to whatever the hell's wrong with Christian Javier. They had to bring him up. He gets a start tonight. We've said this repeatedly. They have got to get it going. They've got to start something. What did Jose Altuve say yesterday after the game? We've been a team that's won 8 out of 10 before.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Jose, it's about that damn time.
Yeah.
Whenever you all want to get started.
Yeah, he says they can get hot. So go ahead and get hot, dog. Yeah,
whenever you want that, you all have belief. The belief around some of the city is waning. I got to believe that. Tyler is somebody who I think lives in the 8 to 10 range in his confidence level with the Astros. And I think Tyler's probably dropped.
Hanging by a thread, man.
To like a 6.587, if I know Tyler. Multiple digits. Here is the lineup, and this is, I think, if you're just jumping into your cars or at your desk or listening to us on the Odyssey app or jumping in on YouTube and Twitch, hello, however you're taking us in. This is the lineup, and another, I think, example of, hey, we got to get on it now. We got to make changes. We got to do something. Altuve will lead off, but Alex Bregman is batting second. This is the third different spot in the lineup that he has been in since Friday. He hit third, fourth, and now he is in the two hole ahead of Alvarez, who is playing in left field. Stay safe. Kyle Tucker in right field. Diaz, they're going to keep his bat in the lineup. He is the DH. Pena and Singleton is going to be in at first base. As I was dead wrong off of believing multiple times on base that Jose Abreu, I'm trying, would reach yesterday, and he did not.
It's not ideal.
He hit a ball hard, though.
He did. He lined out. He lined out early in the game, which you got to take any kind of victories. Vic Caratini is a catcher, bat eighth with Jake Myers, who went deep yesterday. So he gets back-to-back starts. So, of course, the number one player on the team that hits with runners in scoring position deserves to get two games off in a row. Mauricio Dubon, as you are in, got to have it win mode. Last time you were on the show, Brandon, with us, it says not must win, but it kind of is.
Kind of.
And they are now worse from the last time we talked.
They are much worse.
Spencer Arrighetti is on the mound, man. It feels like they can't wait too much longer, Brandon, to get going here.
Well, I've completely recalibrated how I view the season.
Really?
Like, I'm not able to even look. You talk about being done, or are the Astros done? Have you quit on them? I just can't look past the 10 games below 500. And I know the 10 games is a special number, a specific number, because they haven't been that since 2016. So, we look at 10 as, like, this landmark figure. But I've been feeling like this ever since they've been bad, which is pretty much most of the season. Like, hey, let's get to 500. Let's be a 500 baseball team. Can the Astros be a 500 baseball team? And then I can go from there. Then I can have discussions from there on whether they're a legitimate team past that. Are they a wild card team? Are they a team that can go on a run and maybe win a weak division? Or are they just a 500 baseball team that you shouldn't expect much out of? Like, ever since they got swept by the Yankees to start the season, they have been behind the eight ball, and all they've done has reinforced the idea that they are a sub 500 baseball team. That's what the record shows. And until they can get closer to that, I can't really think of them in any other context other than try to get to 500. Chop wood. It sounds like a bunch of cliches. One game at a time. All of that nonsense that you don't like to hear.
It's not ideal.
That's where the Astros are at right now.
I'm not going to lie. I have been saying, like, that's the step. All right, get to 500. Get to 500. Like, because when people have texted in or reached out to us and said, hey, they're only 4.5 games out of 500. They're only – I don't even know what they are now. I don't even – like, I've stopped looking at the standings. I mean, you find yourself two games behind the
seven.
Yeah, 7-17.
There you go.
Yeah, they're 7-17.
No, I know, but I'm just talking about how many games they are behind the Rangers. I've stopped looking at it.
I look at it from the bottom up. How many games are they barely up on the A's?
They're not up on the A's.
Or on the, I'm sorry, on the.
That's what I said.
On the White Sox in terms of being the worst in the American League. I'm so used to bashing the A's. No, you're not as good as the A's right now somehow.
Yeah, you're right. They're 3.5 up on the White Sox for worst record in the American League. The White Sox are 3-20.
Oh my God!
Got two teams in the National League that have won 6 games, but you're basically one of those.
Yeah,
you're the Rockies. You're the White Sox for all intents and purposes. You know, like, you're a bottom feeder, a cellar dweller, as they like to call them. Yeah, so until they become a 500 baseball team, I can't really think of too much past that, too much beyond that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, for me, like, I've been saying, just get to 500 first. Man, that climb is becoming further and further back the more they keep losing games. Like, what did I said on this trip, fellas, I remember you weren't in, Tyler, but Chris was in, and I talked about on this trip, I said they got an 8-game road trip. They got 3 against the Nationals, 3 against the Cubs, and 2 against the sorry-ass Colorado Rockies. I was like, for me, I'm not going to get greedy 5-3. I know Chris and Clint were thinking, boy, 6-2 to kind of start getting. No, I was thinking 5-3.
You're not that kind of team.
Like, and man, that, I mean, I don't have confidence that they're going to be above 500 on this road trip.
I said this on Friday when I was on with Landry, that I look at their schedules differently when I see them play against what has been historically or in the past viewed as a bad baseball team, and you try to chalk that up as a win or chalk that series up as a win. Oh, they're going to just have their way with the Nationals. They're going to have their way with the Royals.
Get right.
These are get-right series.
14-10.
Yeah, right. No, the Royals are not that. The Royals are better than them. So, no, and I thought this when they played the Nationals over the weekend. I'm like, I'm not. I don't, even though Verlander's coming back, I don't view them going to Washington, D.C., and that's just a dub. And lo and behold, they lose that series. The only game they did win was the Verlander game, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, man, they are not an automatic or a favorite against a bad team anymore.
They got to get this going, man, right? Verlander gave his speech 2 days before he pitched. Get your head out of your ass is what Mauricio Dubon said. He came in, pitched a great game for his first game back. They've proceeded to lose three in a row after that and blow one. So they got to get it on. They've had this team speech. They've had their leader come back. They got to win more games than Verlander. They haven't won since Verlander started.
Since the league expanded to 30 teams, no team has started 7-17 as the Astros are right now. No team has started 7-17 and gone on to make the playoffs.
Seven times.
This is since 1998, since you've had 30 teams in Major League Baseball.
You could have kept that one.
No team has done it.
Tyler.
Hey, Verlander, how many games have the Astros won?
Seven times.
Yeah, that's it. Seven times. Get off this night. You could have kept that statue yourself.
I
think Tyler just farted in there by himself.
Hey, Astros.
How did you know that?
Go be historic.
I think we need to grab a drink at steak night tonight.
Ooh, I like where your head's at.
I'm with it.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, some news from the Astros. Framber Valdez threw 40 pitches in a bullpen today. It was reported yesterday that he would throw a bullpen in Chicago. 40 pitches today at Wrigley and is expected to come off the injured list and start one of the games in Mexico City this weekend. Ronel Blanco, O'Neill will start the other. All right, this is promising news. I wonder what his pitch count is now that he's thrown 40 pitches, and that then he'll be going right to there. But he said they said initially probably wouldn't have a rehab start. But listen, you got to take everything you can.
Yeah.
You start to get it. You know, Christian Javier goes down with the neck, whatever. But now, I don't know, man. I was insane. It doesn't make sense.
You get Verlander back, and then Christian Javier sleeps wrong.
I'm trying to think. That seems like. Can't believe we sent him to the IL immediately. Like that, there was no further.
How wrong did you sleep?
I'm just trying to figure out how we know already. We got to have you miss two starts already.
Brother,
but anyway,
brother gonna have to start sleeping standing up if it's that bad.
Framber will get one of the starts this weekend, so that's big. They're getting him back again. Framber Valdez threw today 40 pitches. They can have that. Now you get Verlander. And have Blanco, who has probably been one of the biggest early surprises, not just for the Astros, but in baseball, and Verlander. You have those three in the rotation. I mean, at least you feel now, again, you got three starters you can
run.
Halfway feel good about.
Run.
Yes.
You need five.
I know you need five, but right now you've only had two.
I'm just saying you got three. One of them's 40-something. And is coming off of injury. The other one is also coming off of injury.
I'm just saying.
And then another one is a 30-year-old rookie who has come along.
That is better.
Yes.
That is better than Eric Etty.
Yes.
And
Blair.
God, Blair. Blair equation. That's better. Like, I'm ready for that fella last night. Like, I don't think Hunter should be in the rotation. Hunter or J.P. French. I don't know. One of them can go grab a seat.
Yeah, but both of those guys, I suspect, will be in the bullpen at some point.
Let's go.
When they get right, when they get whole, when they get healthy.
Hunter Brown is beyond disappointing.
He's a complete letdown.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the NBA playoffs, they continue tonight, but I want to get back what just happened. The NBA, I honest to God, stop doing this. Stop it. They've done it in a regular season. The Rockets were involved in it with the Knicks this season.
This is
ridiculous. Don't. If you missed one of the greatest nights of playoff basketball, pissed me smooth off, but one of the greatest nights of playoff basketball Monday night, the Knicks and the 76ers game came down, and there were some questions of officiating at the end. Joel Embiid refused to look at reporters or the camera as he just sat there and twisted his hair and gave his angry response.
Well, you see what kind of pain he playing through. I'd be mad, too.
I wonder if the pain's that bad. All right, he seems like a wrestler selling it half the time.
You think he deserves
it? Over the top.
You think he might get an Emmy for this one?
I don't know, man. Like, every time he touches the ball, it's like he just took a pain pill. But when that ball gets out of his hands, anyway.
Yeah.
He's
always looked awkward. So.
Here is the report, and he's a Jayhawk. Here's the report. In the last two-minute report from officials, the New York Knicks' miraculous 104-101 victory over the 76ers in Game 2 of the first round Monday night, the NBA ruled that Tyrese Maxey was fouled multiple times during the frantic defining sequence and that 76ers coach Nick Nurse called a timeout, but referees didn't see it.
Dude.
Like, hey, man, wow. don't report it. Don't tell us.
Why would you?
Like, but
here's the thing that I don't get. If you're gonna tell us this, and we know that the team filed a grievance, how do they not win it?
Yes. How do we just keep going?
How do we just act like, okay, so they acknowledged they were wrong. The 76ers voice vehement objections to it, file a grievance.
And they said, you're right.
Yeah.
On multiple, like, it's not just one thing. When he says he got fouled multiple times, like I counted three different times he was fouled. He was grabbed by the jersey before the ball was inbounded, pushed, slapped on the ground, and you said you missed a timeout.
The timeout.
That's 3 to 4 different things that happened in that one sequence in which would have sent them to the line up two.
And when the Rockets were involved in moments like this, they were regular season games.
Yes.
These are playoff games.
And 2-0 is completely different than 1-1 going home. People lose jobs over this.
Yeah. Now, neither one of these teams has a shot to win the finals, I don't think. But that doesn't change the facts. That doesn't change the principle of it.
I would
still be very, very upset if I was a 76er.
Like, what do we do here? You just said 3 to 4 different things were incorrectly either not called or just missed.
We got to play the last 5 minutes of the game.
This feels like, to me, when George Brett got the pine tar thing, it happened to him. They came back and reviewed it and said they were wrong. They replayed the ninth inning.
Holy cow.
Came back a month later and replayed the ninth inning. I know some of our old heads will remember that, where he lost his mind for the pine tar. I feel like they should do that.
Or at least let him play knockout or something.
Or to me, like the Sixers,
the
Sixers should start with a 15-point lead in Game 3. 5 points for each one of the infractions. The timeout.
Okay, hold on.
I'll say multiple as two. The timeout and the two fouls they missed.
They start the game plus 15?
They may still lose, but 15-0.
Man, the way they shoot threes in the NBA now.
Like, it don't feel like they should just come out and it's zip. Like nothing happened. All right, we've got to continue what has taken over the show here. I now want the Texans to go get this guy. I want Cooper DeJean. I want the Texans to go get this guy. Draft talk for the Houston Texans coming up next.
That's what the whites used to do.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Houston Texans are on the clock.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Just looking up on the screen as Nick Saban is doing some of his first work with ESPN, and he's just wearing all Alabama colors. They had the Texans up there. The number one need for the Texans they had listed was cornerback.
So they're not buying into the
Clint's
Jeff Okuda
defensive tackle.
They're not buying into the Jeff Okuda, C.J. Henderson comeback season?
No.
They don't seem to be sold.
I don't think they seem to be sold. And that's where we can arrive right here with Cooper DeJean. And look, man, I mean, I think we got to really kind of pull the car over here a little bit.
Let's do it.
Discuss this. I know you kept talking about.
Pull the carpet back, too.
You know, as we get real here. With his with him being a white corner, which is unusual. Like, doesn't happen. I'm serious. I think it's Jason Sehorn. There was a guy for the Washington Commanders that was a white corner that they quickly moved, and they became special teams guy. But they even changed the listing of his position, which I think if you're just going to use him on special teams, you could have just at least had him listed as a corner.
Yeah, you can still call him
and
a corner. Still,
and but they moved him to safety.
Daria Gumbawale still gets to be a running back.
Yeah.
Even though he's, you know, a kicker.
Stop, man.
I'm sorry.
Seriously, how good does Cooper DeJean have to be? Like, to really talk about it, as you continue, you kick this off, Brandon, as you really leaned into the thought of if he is someone that drops because he's a white corner, and there are some people who may just have some serious biases about that.
Yeah.
How good does this cat have to be to overcome all of these obstacles? He is a white corner from Iowa. Like Ladd McConkey, who may sneak into this first round as a slot receiver, but he did it at Georgia. He was in the SEC. He was out there. You got him on tape getting it going up against NFL guys. Now, I don't know. Maybe Cooper really got after it against Ohio State and company, and maybe that's what helped him, or Michigan, who didn't have a great receiving core.
But them highlights against Illinois look like they in slow motion.
Yes. Yes, the Nebraska ones, too, as well. Just think about, I think, honestly, where is he from? Anybody have any idea? Somebody find out, where is his hometown?
I'd imagine he's from Iowa.
Maybe he's from a big Midwestern. He's from Minneapolis, somewhere he's got to be. Like somewhere big where maybe he is.
He's from Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
This is even more. He's from South Dakota? Think about the obstacles and how good he is from South Dakota and went to Iowa as a white corner and is a consensus first round pick.
He's a trailblazer, man. A chain breaker.
I think he's actually probably a top 10 pick. There's like the biases and the I just can't shake it, him being a white corner probably has him in the 20s. he must be a top 10 guy. I mean, to overcome that. People have to be looking at him. Oh, come on, man. You sure? How many times has Cooper tried to push and change his position?
At least four.
However many times it's been, it won't be the last. Because it's about to happen again.
I bet you so many schools wanted Cooper to play a different position. In Iowa, and Kirk Ferentz is the one that said, no, come on here.
Yeah.
Come on here. And we'll let you play corner.
And he's probably like, this is where I can shine.
And he has.
With that South Dakota background.
I think Iowa
was the place for him.
Now that I look at it, I think the Texans, they've got to go up there and get him. I mean, if he's sitting there falling to in the late 20s, 25, this is probably a top 10 pick. The biases, I think, have him dropping.
I think that the Texans can absolutely benefit from biases and ignorance and this feeling that you wouldn't draft a white corner in the first round. The only criticism that I would take, or what I would consider justified, is if you didn't want to draft, forget him being white, a corner that you feel like you're going to move to safety, whether he's whatever color he is. If you think you're going to move him to safety, how good of a safety does he have to be? Do you think he is not a perfect player comparison to Kyle Hamilton, obviously, but do you think he's that level of a safety? Do you think you're drafting an all-pro safety? To me, that determines how much you're willing to invest in a guy who it says corner on his position, like on his listing, but you know deep down this is a guy that's going to play safety and maybe some slot work for you. He's not a great outside corner prospect.
As someone texted,
but he's a good football, a hell of a football player.
Are y'all saying white guys aren't as athletic as
no,
black guys?
No.
I'm telling you.
Not at all.
I'm telling you the league has.
I'm not telling you that at all.
I'm telling you
that it's ignorant. I'm telling you that it's exactly that. It's ignorance. It's the fact that people would bypass it or overlook it or use it as an excuse. I think you could benefit from it.
It's one of the most unbelievable things that we have not seen a white corner really play since Jason Sehorn. I just can't believe it. But I think these cats are, I think biases are a lot of it. I think they are being changed in positions. You can see some white guys. You can see some white receivers that you're like, that guy could be Dez King if he was allowed to. Cooper Kupp could be Dez King.
Absolutely.
If he wasn't changed.
Absolutely. What was the dude that played for Tampa that won the Super Bowl with Scotty Miller?
Oh God, yes.
Scotty Miller could play any of the defensive back positions if he wanted to. 100% could run with a receiver.
To think those obstacles. Iowa.
Yeah. No.
That guy's a consensus first rounder.
The Texans want to really be revolutionary. They want to really be some.
I want them to do it so bad.
Chain breakers. This the way to do it.
I want it to be so bad.
But they would have to change his position, though. So I don't know. would be that.
Why are you trying to?
We drafted the white corner, but he ain't playing corner no more.
Hold on. You don't think if he came over, he's opposite
Derek Stingley?
Yes.
No, I think he's inside. He's giving Dez King a run for his money on his job.
No,
he's giving Jalen Petrie a run for his money. But Jeff Okudah is safe.
Oh, no. He Jeff Okudah got him?
Yeah.
He ain't gonna be giving that game.
He ain't getting that.
He's all stop. If they move up to go get him, he is going to be the starting outside corner.
Absolutely not.
They better not move up to go get him to make him.
And that's why I said maybe you don't move. It depends on how far he goes, how far he slides down. Maybe you don't move up to the back end of the. But if he slides out of the first, now we're talking about something.
He's coming out early too. He's a junior.
He's a talented dude, man.
This dude here, man. I'll tell you, this is a top five pick.
The beginning of the segment was top 10.
Dude. The biases, I believe, have been pushed to this point.
Those white hurdles.
My man over here, Brandon, won't even allow him to be the starter on the outside.
He ain't that.
To move up to go get won't be the starter on the
y'all
outside.
Y'all the ones
over
on this
Jeff,
show.
Over Jeff Okudah.
Y'all the ones on this show that complained about Tyvier Thomas playing in the slot.
He ain't Tyvier Thomas.
He's better than, that's what I'm saying. He upgrades your slot position and probably upgrades you at safety if we're being honest.
I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's go him on the outside. You give me Dejeed and you give me Stingley. With King on the inside.
And they say no.
See, now I'm uncomfortable because I feel like you're trying to sabotage the white dude.
I'm not trying to sabotage him. I'm trying to ease an outside corner.
No, I'm trying to set this man up for success.
This is amazing.
Set this man up for success so he can make plays.
He don't even have to play all 4 years. He can come out early on your ass. Wow.
Yeah, man. Unanimous All-American.
This guy.
America like him.
Wow.
Go ahead, Cooper. There is that. America
he dunks, too.
Well, I could believe that.
From the text line, decided to text in.
I could believe that.
I'm with it. Go get him. Go ahead, Nick. Go get him. He looks like a football playing Jesse.
Oh, he does.
Football playing
right,
Jesse.
We'll update you on some really good news for a change with your Houston Astros. And after that, we'll get that out the way, and we got to have potentially start having some tough conversations about them. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right. God bless Cooper Dejean. God bless that kid. Wow. I'm just glad he didn't have to go to the U.S. or USFL or Canada like Warren Moon had to do to really show he can play at that position.
Progress.
Let him come
God back. Bless, brother.
Progress, you might say.
They try to move that kid to running back, safety, probably try to make him put on 25 pounds to play linebacker. And he said, no. I'm not doing it.
And they say, no.
Nah, all right. I am a DB, a cornerback.
Cornerback. That someone's already trying to move him to safety.
Yeah, he's going
to
play safety.
All right. If you are just jumping in, this is some really good news. And this is tough for an Astros team that is reeling. Framber Valdez threw 40 pitches in the bullpen today at Wrigley Field and is expected to come off the injured list and start one of the games this weekend in Mexico City against the Rockies. Blanco will start the other. With those two guys, that's as confident in a two-game set against a really bad baseball team that you feel like you can be if you're the Astros on the mound. Hoping so. I do wonder where his pitch count will be. right? Like, that's the first time it's been reported, right, Tyler, Brandon, you keeping up with this as well, that he's thrown a bullpen.
Yeah.
Something since he's been injured.
Everything we had been hearing before this was that he was playing catch.
Yeah.
You know, he was playing catch. This was an actual bullpen session. So that is progress. And 40 pitches, I mean, that's not insignificant at all.
Yeah, but we'll see what kind of pitch count he is. I don't know if he can, you know, if he's throwing 100 pitches or
no,
whatever.
No, probably.
You know
not.
What I mean? Like, yeah, we'll see.
That wouldn't even be smart to
do. How long he goes with the time off he's had. So we'll see what the pitch count is, if there is, which I'm sure there will be one. But he should pitch this weekend, and that's big to get him back in that rotation because they desperately need him to get back.
But I will point out, we had Tony Gwynn Jr. on earlier, our Odyssey MLB insider, and he did point out, because, you know, he's in San Diego, covers the Padres. Padres, a .500 baseball team, also talented, probably the epitome of disappointments. You know, a team not realizing its expectations, its potential over the last couple of years. They just lost to the Rockies.
Yeah.
So, it's not like it's not a thing that could happen.
Kevin Garnett with this Astros team, anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Right now. They've got multiple catcher's interference in the last week, so anything is possible to lead to runs late. What is wrong with Will Conkle? And why are you putting this in here? Brandon gave a hell of a
thought
stat
it was
earlier.
Really interesting.
Tyler's doing this and just running and just beating himself up. Chaz McCormick, 7 RBIs this year. Alex Bregman, 5 RBIs. By the way, Alex Bregman has been moved in the lineup to the 2 spot. Alex Bregman has hit 2, 3, and 4, mostly behind Jose Altuve, who has been, for the most part of this first part of the season, been leading the league in hitting.
Yeah.
And then Alvarez.
He could win his 4th batting title this year.
And Alvarez, who had been swinging the bat pretty well without the last, I guess, week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.